Let's take our Bibles together, please, to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 3. We'll pick up where we left off, verse by verse, in this book of the Word of God to see what the Lord has to say. Very apropos, last time we were in the text here, we were speaking about the curses of God, and now God moves in this text from speaking of the curses to the promises. That's just like God. He can take a curse and he can turn it into a promise. Amen. And that's what's happening in this text here. And so we're going to look at the promises in this text together. Galatians chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 15, brethren. Galatians 3, 15, brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant which was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture hath concluded, all under sin, that the promise, by faith of Jesus Christ, might be given to them that believe. I want you to look at how many times in this text the word promise or promises occur. Start in verse 14. Would you look at that? The Bible said at the end of verse 14 that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Verse 17. He said at the end of the verse that it should make the promise of none effect. Verse number 18. End of the verse. Gave it to Abraham by promise. Verse 19. Again in the middle of the verse. Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. Verse 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? Verse 22, the Bible says, all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 29. And if you be Abraham's, if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, I'm sure everybody in here has made a promise before, and you've probably made a promise that you've not kept. I'm sure there probably everybody in here has had someone make a promise to you. And some have been kept and some have not been kept. There are different types of promises. There are even different types of promises in the Bible. And some even have to do with the verses that we've read this morning. There are promises that concern physical things. There are promises that concern spiritual things. There are certain promises that God made to Abraham that were of a physical nature, land and seed, and things to his children. There were certain promises that God made to Abraham that were spiritual promises that had to do with righteousness and things on the inside. They're also true for anyone that will believe, even as Abraham believed. So we can't automatically just claim every promise in the Bible, because some of them are physical and they're not engendered to you. They're not given to you. And of course, we know that there are promises that God makes that he's offering to all men, but that's not the case. Some he made only to Israel. And Israel, by the way, has a piece of geography. They have a piece of land that was only promised to them that nobody else will get because it's a physical promise that he made. But God is a God of promises. He's a God of promises. That's why that word occurs over and over again. And when we understand as human beings that there is a curse under the law, we ought to be thankful that there is a promise that came way before the curse, you see. And so God's promise that he gave to Abraham is so much greater than the curse that was put under the law that it was made so many years beforehand. And God's trying to emphasize to the Galatians here how they need to focus on the promises of God. You know, there's some type of underpinning of the devil in society that tries to question all the promises of God. There's something underneath, and I think it's going to be a theme throughout today, even tonight as we get into 2 Corinthians. How God wants us to have confidence in him and confidence in what he says. And confidence in his promises. And I think there's sort of an underpinning in all of life and society that just sort of tries to get man to question God. And get man to question God's promises or question the ability of God in your life or the truth of what God may have said. And there's nothing more powerful, I would tell you, than the promises of God. The Bible tells us in verse 15, would you look at it? Well, you know, when man makes a promise, it's usually a big deal. If he makes covenants, that's what the word covenant really is leading to. Somebody makes a promise, they enter into an agreement or a covenant together. Galatians 3:15, look at that. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. In other words, he says when man makes a covenant, even man's covenants are important and man's covenants are binding and man's covenants aren't to be disannulled. For example, you say, what are you talking about? Well, if you make a covenant with the bank on your mortgage, you can't just go down there and say, hey, can we forget about this? You can't disannul that. Because if it's confirmed, and what you've literally done, you've made a promise, right? You've made a promise that you're going to make X number of payments for the rest of your life, I mean for 30 years, or however long it is, and you've made a covenant with them, and you're promising them, I will pay you this, right? And you can't just wipe that away. Because if you try to wipe that away, then you're going to have a problem. You're going to be out on the street. You're going to be on the roadside. Because the promises of man are supposed to be law-binding, and they are. I mean, you can go to jail by not keeping contracts. You can enter into judgment if you don't, because man considers his covenants and his promises not easily disannulled. If they're confirmed, you got to stick to it because you made a promise. But now we've got a problem in society, don't we? Because man's not like God. Man doesn't keep promises very well. There are a lot of people that didn't keep a marital promise. There are a lot of people that didn't keep a promise to God. There's a lot of people that didn't keep promises in contracts and covenants. There's a lot of people that have promised many things that have never followed through with them. But you know, the Bible tells us that God has given to us exceeding great and precious promises. And I want to tell you something. God's not like lying man. God's not like us. And I think religion and society tries to get us to look at God like we look at each other. And what a fallacy that is. God's not like us. He's not sinful like us. His character's not bankrupt. His word is real. His word is true. And many times some people can have a bump in the road of their life or a tragedy in their life where someone has broken a promise or someone's word was not true to them. And it can get them to doubt everything. And sometimes it can even get them to doubt God. But what I'm trying to tell you, God is not a man that he should lie. God is not a man that he should back up on his promises. When God makes a promise, it's real, it's true. You can go to the bank on it. It'll never be disannulled. It'll never be done away with. You can't add to it. You can't take away from it, because the God that made heaven and earth, when he promises something, it's going to come true. God keeps his promises. And I think even today, what we need to focus our heart and rest our hearts in the promises of God, not in the unsureties of life, not in the fears of life, not in the tragedies of life, but our hearts need to rest on the promises of God. And as life goes on, they ought to be more important. How many promises has God given to us? I mean, even in this text, I'll start with the one in this text where he says up in verse 14, at the end of the verse, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. What a promise that God has given us his Spirit if we've been saved. I know that I have the Spirit of God. I know the Holy Ghost is in my body. You know how I know that? It's not because I get goosebumps. I don't have the Spirit of God not because I feel like it, or because I've talked myself into it, or I went through this in my life and I felt good about it and I felt like God was with me. When you boil everything down, the reason that I know that the Holy Ghost is in here is because God promised him to me. It's his promise. And God cannot go back on a promise. He said, if you'll trust my son, Ephesians chapter 1, after that you believe the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, you'll be sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So God's, that's a promise. And so I know he's in there, and I'm not worried about him leaving, because he also promised he would never leave me nor forsake me, you see. You say, how do I know that God's not going to leave me? Well, he promised. He can't go back on his word. The promise of eternal life. What a verse in 1 John 2:25. 1 John 2:25 says, listen, this is the promise that he hath promised us. Said it twice. Even eternal life. Do you know you have eternal life? If I were to doubt my salvation, what I would be doing is questioning the fact that God doesn't keep his promise. You understand that? It's not about my life. It's not about my circumstances. I know that I believed on his son, and he said, he that believeth on that son, he'll give them everlasting life. He'll give me eternal life. And he says, this is the promise, 1 John 2:25, that he hath promised us even eternal life. I know I have it. Amen. Because it's more sure than anything you'll hear on the news or anything you'll ever feel. God's promises are always kept. What about the promise of peace? Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. John 14:27, God promises you peace. If he promises peace, he can't go back on that. He promises us comfort over and over in John chapter 14. He promised that he would give us a comforter. And I rest in that no matter what happens in my life, that comforter will be there. I will have comfort. Why? Because God promised it. He didn't go back on his promise. He's promised me deliverance. He told me in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that he's delivered me, and he doth deliver me, and he'll yet deliver. He promised me past, present, future deliverance. He's promised me victory. He said, he calleth us always to triumph in Christ. We have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory over fear, victory over sin, victory over addictions, victory over the world, victory over whatever. Why? Because it's the promise of God. We need to rest in the promises of God, that he'll supply all our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That he is our sufficiency. The Bible says our sufficiency is of God. That's a promise of God, you see. He's not going to retire from that. He's not going to move back from that. You know another promise of God? Another promise of God is that he loves you. Amen. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1, having these promises, dearly beloved. You know, God, look, if you're saved, God loves you. Amen. You're his dearly beloved. You're his child. Not going to quit loving you. I think some people sometime in their life, somewhere or another, they start questioning whether God loves them. Maybe because they questioned, had some other problem in their life somebody else didn't love. But God's not like those people, you see. God keeps His promises. And He's given us a promise to love us as our Father. He's given us a promise to forgive us. Oh, what a promise we have to lean on. All right? Not just forgiveness at salvation, but I tell you what, how many times have you messed up? And it wasn't the first time, it was the second time or the third time or the fourth time. And you're thinking, oh, what do I do now? Well, you lean on the promise of God. Where the Bible says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to what? How do I know I'm forgiven? Because I feel like, because He promised it.
Amen.
I'm telling you, we've got to root our hearts in the promises of God. If we don't, oh, the problems we're going to have in this world. And so these promises are not like man's promises. Though man's promises are counted to be that which cannot be disannulled, God's promises, you couldn't even think about doing it. God's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, and we need to believe those promises. Now look at not only man's promise in verse 15, look at verse 16. I read of Abraham's promise. Not just a generic promise of man to man, but I see a promise made to Abraham. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Verse 18, for if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. God made a promise to Abraham. God made a lot of promises to Abraham. God promised him a seed. God promised him land. God promised him righteousness. God promised that in him all the nations of the earth would be blessed. God gave so many promises to Abraham. And none of those were because of what Abraham had done. It wasn't, listen. God's promises to Abraham were not based upon his deeds. God's promises to Abraham were based upon his faith. God's promise, all of them, all of God's promises to Abraham was based upon the fact that he believed God. And we need to understand that God's promises to us today have not to do with me getting acceptance from Him so I can enter into the promise, but me believing God. Just as Abraham believed God and had all these promises laid to him at his feet, whether it was his personal righteousness or whether it was in his inheritance, it was all rooted not in what Abraham did, but what Abraham believed. The Bible says that promise to Abraham wasn't just to him. Look at verse 16 again. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Now you say, who was his seed? Now notice, he makes an issue of plurality here and singularity. Verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not into seeds as of many, but as of one. Now that's a little confusing, it might be on the surface. Because when we look at the promises God made to Abraham, many of those promises, like land and other those things that have to do with the nation of Israel, it passed from Abraham to Isaac and then to Jacob and then to the 12 sons of Jacob, you see, and then to all their descendants, right? But God's boiling things down a little bit. And He says, you know, really, all those promises made to Abraham was to his seed, not his seeds. In other words, it wasn't just to all a bunch of individual people. He says it was to one. You know, the fulfillment of the promises that God made to Abraham are all boiled down to one person, and that Bible says it right there in that verse, and it's Christ. You see, Christ was not just the seed of David, He was also the seed of Abraham. You know, ultimately that land, though I understand it's given to the Jew, but you know who that land is really given to? It's given to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the ownership of the land. All the promises of God are going to be found in Christ. And what God promised to Abraham, really at the end of the day, it is going to come down to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ that has all of that promise. Now, you know what's blessing about that? I can connect my life to that seed. That's what he said in that verse. Now, I'm not a Jew. I'm not one of the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. I understand there's some things that relate to them that can never relate to me. But overall, those big promises that God made to Abraham, he said, they're made to one, and it's to thy seed, which is Christ. I can have those. I can have the promises of God, because if Jesus Christ is mine and I am his, then the promises of Abraham that were in Christ are promises that I can enjoy as well. Look at verse 29. Verse 29. And if ye be Christ, well, I am. Amen. Amen. I tell you what, the greatest day of your life, when you'll be able to lift up your head and say, now I belong to Jesus, and Jesus belongs to me. If ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What a wonderful thing that though Abraham enjoyed all those promises personally with God, I can enjoy the promises of God through Jesus Christ, though I'm nobody, though I'm but a Gentile, a heathen. That song says, ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. But all that's based in that seed of the woman, all that's based in Jesus Christ, who has fulfilled all that promise. You know what the Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20? Just turn over there. Hold your finger. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. I remember preaching this. What a wonderful verse in the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Watch this now. 2 Corinthians 1, 20. The Bible says, like to hear the wonderful. Here in the pages turn, amen. For all, you see that? That's A-double-L. I mean, what does that not include? For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. All the promises of God are in him. In who? Verse 19, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. It's in him. He's the yea, you see. He's the one that establishes those promises, verse 21, with us and in us. He's the one. Look, if you don't connect your life with Jesus Christ, your life has no meaning, because it's out of connection to God's promises to you. You can have no promise from God. You can have no help from God if your life's not connected with Jesus Christ, because all the promises are in him. The promises of an abundant life, it's in him. The promise of eternal life, it's all in him. We are partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, Ephesians 3:6 says. And that includes an inheritance. That includes an inheritance. Look back at our text. He said in Galatians 3, in verse 18, for if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. I have an inheritance with God. You know why I have inheritance with God? Because it's connected with the promise to Abraham, which is a promise to Christ, which I enter into as well. I have an inheritance with God. That Bible speaks of an eternal inheritance in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15. And Jesus has accomplished that. I have something beyond this world. Boy, land and houses and things that you can inherit. Talking with a woman the other day, and she said, you know, I'm going to just put up, her husband died, she said, I'm going to put everything up to an absolute auction. Sell everything. I mean, there was so much stuff there, you can't believe what was there. I mean, enough for 10 men in a lifetime to have. But, you know, I said, well, why are you putting up for auction? Why don't you, you know, you got children and all that, won't you? You know what she said? She said, well, you know, that they fight over all that stuff. I mean, every little trinket, you know what I'm saying? You know what she did? A smart woman. She said, I'm just going to sell it all. She's going to put everything up for sale. Every bookcase, every gun, every toy, every tool. I'm going to sell it all and turn it into money. I said, well, that's pretty smart, lady. Then they don't have anything to fight about. Right. But you know, all that stuff doesn't last. All that inheritance down here doesn't last. But here's what God says. I have an inheritance, and I'll give it to Abraham, and through Christ I'll give it to you. Do you want my inheritance? Do you want what God could give you, or you want what you're trying to get? You see, what you're trying to get is not going to last, and it may not even be any count, but if God promises you an inheritance, oh, what a blessing. Amen.
And he says that inheritance is not by the law. That inheritance didn't come. The heir is not the one by the law. The inheritance comes by the promise. Go to Romans chapter 4. I think we need to read this verse. It goes right along with what he's saying here in Galatians chapter 3. Here's what people do now. All these false religions that teach heresy regarding salvation, that say you have to do something to live, or you have to keep the commandments or keep God's law to get something from God, they have not read these verses. They do not believe these verses because God does not give anyone an inheritance by what they do. He'll only give an inheritance by what is promised through their faith. He says in Romans chapter 4, would you look at it in verse 14? For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void. You see that? And the promise made of none effect. Look at verse 16. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise, there it is, might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So the inheritance of God is not based upon any law keeping or the Ten Commandments. God doesn't pass out an inheritance by that. He passes out an inheritance based upon faith. Just like Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. You know, that's what I did one day. God from heaven looked at me and he says, you know, you're a sinner. Now, he did a little bit different with Abraham. He said some different things to Abraham, but Abraham believed whatever he said. He said, Abraham, look up at the stars. Yes, sir. That's how many kids I'm going to give you. All right, I believe you. You know what God said to me? That's a pretty hard thing to swallow, isn't it? You know, this is another hard thing to swallow, though. When you look into the mirror of God's word and God speaks to your heart and says, you know what? You're a sinner. You're guilty. You're a dirty dog. You're not good. There's nothing good about you. And there'll never be anything good about you. And you deserve to go to hell. You're guilty. You know, that's really hard for people to swallow. You know, when God told me that and says, you know, you're a sinner, you know what I said? I believe you. When God says you're guilty, you know what I said? I believe you. When God says, you know, you're on your way to hell and you can't do anything about it, I said, okay, I believe you. And just as Abraham said, Lord, I believe what you say, God says, all right, I'm going to give you righteousness. God says, my son, Jesus, died for you. Okay, I believe you, Lord. He paid your sin debt. Okay, I believe that, Lord. And he rose from the dead. I believe that, Lord. You know, for some people, that's a hard thing to believe. You know, Thomas Jefferson, when he wrote his copy of the New Testament, he stopped at the death of Christ because he didn't want to include the resurrection. You know, it's hard for some people to believe the resurrection. That's really hard for some people to believe. They've never been to Israel. They've never seen Jesus Christ. And to believe that Jesus died and was buried and rose from the dead. But, you know, if you'll just be like Abraham and say, okay, I can't figure all that out the stars. I mean, I'm an old man and my wife's old. I don't know how this is going to work out. But I just, God, if you say it, I believe it. Amen. If you promise it, I just believe it. Whatever you say, I just believe it. Life would be so much simpler if people would just believe whatever God said. And when God said his son died and rose from the dead and he's seated at the right hand of God, and when God tells me to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved, I'm just going to believe the promises of God. You know what? I entered into his righteousness. I entered into his inheritance just because I believed his promise. People believe man's promises. I guarantee you, if this week they say they have found a vaccine, now think about it. Now come here now. Think about it. If next week they say, we have found a vaccine that will cure and keep COVID away from you, people will line up and run over each other to get it. Yeah. Right? Now if they say that, that may or may not be true. Right? But it will not stop people from believing the promise. You know why? Because it's easier for people to believe the promises of men that lie than to believe the promises of God who never lies. Why can't I give my life to God, give my heart to God, give my life to the Scripture and the words of God, and just resign my soul to whatever He says instead of putting confidence in what man says and does? Abraham believed those promises, and it was not, he did not get that inheritance by what he did. He got that inheritance by who he believed. Now look at verse 17. Here's another promise. Not just man's promise, Abraham's promise. How about Moses' promise? He says in verse 17, "In this I say that the covenant," that covenant, that's an agreement. That's you can use, I could use the word promise. There's a promise connected with this covenant. "And this I say that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law," so now he's talking about the law, "which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect." Look at verse 19. "Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression." And then he talks about a mediator. And the mediator of the law, you know, the law had a mediator. Look at the end of verse 19. He says, "And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator." And Deuteronomy 5 and verse 5 says that mediator of the law was Moses. If you remember that, Moses stood between God and the people. And he was the mediator of the law between God and the people. God gave the law to him. He gave it to the people. He talked to God for the people, and God talked to him to give back to the people. He was the mediator. And the Bible says angels were involved. We won't go into that. Acts 7, Hebrews 2. But angels were involved in that law giving. But that law had a promise. But what was his promise? The Bible says, verse 19, it was only, what serveth the law? It was added because of transgression. You know what the promise of the law was? It's in verse 10. It's the promise we don't want. You know what does verse 10 say? "Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all those things of that law." That promise was a curse. Now let me ask you a question. Why would somebody want the curse instead of the promise of inheritance and the promise of blessing? Why would somebody want to live under the Old Testament law or live under the Ten Commandments or try to think they're accepted by God when all that brings is a curse? And the Bible says the promise with Abraham is so much better. And that law was 430 years after. I think this promise was around a whole lot longer time than the law. You know, most religions are just boiled down and trying to get their salvation through the works of the law, the deeds of the law. And people criticize, "Oh, well, you just believe in faith and you believe it's so simple." No, I believe in the promise of God that's by faith that was 430 years before there ever was a law. That's what he's trying to tell the Galatians. He says, you know, Moses was a mediator there. And there were angels involved. But you know, Abraham's promise was so much better than Moses' promise. You know why? There wasn't any angels around there with God's promises to Abraham. There wasn't even a mediator there. It was God and Abraham. Isn't that great? They didn't need other people there. I mean, he was speaking to Abraham like a friend. Abraham face to face. You know, that's what God wants for us. That's what God wants in our lives. He doesn't need angels and saints and organization. God wants to be personal in your life, just like he was personal with Abraham. He wants to talk to you. He wants to walk with you. He wants to fellowship with you. He wants you to believe him. He wants to be as personal to you as he was with Abraham. That wasn't true with that law. Those people stayed away from that Mount Sinai. They're afraid. They were afraid of that quaking. They were afraid of the law. And even the lawgiver came down from the mountain and broke the law. Everybody broke the law. The law was not a sweet thing in their life, but the promise to Abraham, that was 430 years before. Look what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3
that law, look at verse 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. See, there's nothing wrong with the law. There's just something wrong with me. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But that's just it. It can't give any life. All the thing the law does is give death. Only thing the law does is kill. Life is found in Christ. We'll all be made alive, not in the law. Amen. You're made alive through the gospel. You're made alive. You're quickened by the Spirit. You're quickened and made alive by Jesus Christ, not by what you do. What life we find in Christ. But the law could never have given anybody life, because nobody could ever keep it anyway. So there's nothing wrong with that law, but it cannot give life. And that law cannot disannul God's promise, just like man cannot disannul it. He says in verse 22, but the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. You know, I'm glad that the Bible does say, look, verse 20, now a mediator is not a mediator one, but God is one. And I do know 1 Timothy 2:5 says there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And I understand that. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And I look at that like before salvation, because, you know, that same text says, you know, God, he's wanting to save everybody. You know, he's interested in reaching out and saving all humanity, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's why there's a one mediator. Here's sinful man that can't get to God, and there's God. And Jesus Christ is the mediator. But this is the great thing about the promise of God. When Jesus Christ takes, as Job talks about that daysman, to grab my hand and grab God's hand, when Jesus Christ grabbed the hand of God the Father and you as a sinner and saved your soul and brought you together, you know what? You really don't need a mediator anymore, because he's your Father. You understand? I can bow my head right now and say, Father. And I'm in the family now, you see. I don't have to go through any other steps. Jesus Christ, I'm in Christ. And I'm in Him. I'm in God, and God's in me. And all that relationship that God had face to face with Abraham is a blessing that I get to have. But how many people are not even interested in that kind of relationship with God? And how many people, they just can't believe God. They just can't trust God. They just can't have confidence in what God said. Everything else is so big in their lives, but what God said is sort of relegated to, yeah, that's in the Bible. Oh, we need God to strengthen our faith. Every promise of God is true. And God wants to bring me face to face with Himself in that beautiful relationship of promise. No angels needed. Amen. Isn't it stupid, all these old movies, you know, like the angels come down and have to help people, you know. I don't forget all the TV shows and all that stuff, you know. But God has to communicate with people through angels and all. That's such hogwash. If you'll just enter into the promises of Abraham, you'll just be face to face with God, and you can walk with Him and talk with Him, and you can be His friend, and He'll be your friend, and you can believe every word He says. Are you? Abraham was a friend of God. The friend of God. Are you His friend? Some people are so far away from God, they don't even want to get close to Him. But you'll never want to get close to Him if you can't believe Him. The promises, they're all in Him.